Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit me up there. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, my friend from the Trustville Tribune, Scott Buttram, will make time for us. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now, it's every other Monday. We're very pleased to have our next guest. State Representative Jennifer Fidler is on with us, my state lawmaker, representing my area in Montgomery. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Jeff?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. You're up in Montgomery. What brings you to our fair capital city today?
I came up yesterday afternoon. The Alabama Farmers Federation had their 104th annual meeting where all the farmers from across the state come together and meet and kind of get their agenda together, and they give their annual report. They have they remember their members who they've lost over the past year. It's just the time that everybody can get together and seeing a few colleagues, and then they'll recognize a few of my colleagues for the work that on the health plan that was passed this past year. They'll do that tonight. So just up here with them here in the, I serve on the Ag and Forestry Committee. So I like to come to this meeting and just kind of hear exactly what's happening and what's going on and what the latest and greatest is.
Well, what are you hearing? Now, you know, we usually think when it comes to ag that it tends to be a little more federally focused, but you guys at the state level, obviously very important to the Farmers Federation. Talk a little bit about that.
Just input costs continually to be on the rise, which fertilizer, you know, fuel has come down a little bit, but just input costs are so expensive, hard to find labor, people who want to work. There's a lot of our farmers use H-2A, the H-2 workers, you know, the federal workers that are from out of the country but are here legally because they've come through a process to work over here. They're not trying to be a citizen or live here under the radar. They come through a federal process. And just as a side note, you know, I've talked to the home builders folks and the construction folks wish that their workers, federal workers like that, they could accept more folks than they are accepting today, which is part of maybe something we can improve. You know, in the federal process, they wish that there were more slots that they could fill for construction workers, because on that side of things, you know, it's hard for them to fill those slots. But it's hard for farmers to find those slots. So labor is an issue, a high input cost, and then the cost that they're actually, you know, getting for their product, you know, is much more than they were getting a couple decades ago. So they're kind of the same issues that we've been having.
The immigration problem, it always sort of, it makes my audience a little crazy, but I, you know, like the way I try to explain it, these aren't permanent jobs. And you know, everybody says, well, they're jobs that other Americans won't do. And the reason is that they're seasonal. They don't offer benefits. They're meant to be temporary. And that's the problem, though. They are temporary in a perfect world. The work would be performed and then these guest workers would go back home. But under this, you know, what we have now, or maybe not so much during Trump, but more so during Biden and before, they weren't going home and that was causing problems. You really saw it in a lot of places around the state, particularly in poultry farming.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in like Haitians that we saw coming in, and you know, the real problem, the rumor that we had them coming down to Baldwin County, which not sure if the response to that rumor is what kept them coming from Baldwin County.
Well, not even that. It's this. It's, you know, we have a poultry farming industry. We have others. I mean, where you have seasonal help from Latin America, not necessarily from Haiti or the Caribbean, but, you know, and they come and they, you know, whatever it is, perform these tasks, tomato picking or whatever, and then they, in theory, are supposed to go home, and they just don't.
Well, the H2A workers, the ones that I know our farmers use, that locally, not sure about statewide, Jeff, but the ones are Baldwin County farmers. They've kind of told me their process, and from what I understand, they do go home. But you're, you know, we don't have many poultry farmers, if at all, there in Baldwin County. They're more of the middle of the state, and upper end, northern ends of the state of Alabama. And I'm not rubbing shoulders with a lot of poultry farmers, so I can absolutely ask those questions.
Well, let's talk, just keep it here, you know, beyond not just poultry farming. I was just using that as an example, but like the way it works, and I'm not as familiar with it as you are, obviously, but guest workers and like, because my understanding and it's more nuanced than just, well, why don't you just pay more? And you could have, you don't need guest workers. If people want to pay at the grocery store for a head of lettuce and they need to pay the value of it, but it's still like the jobs are not permanent jobs. It's not like getting a job in the service industry or something. You work for a few months and then you're let go.
Well, when they're seasonal, yes. I mean, and most of our crops are seasonal. I'm not sure if you'd call the poultry industry seasonal, though, just because, you know, they're raising them, and, I mean, they have a turnover, whereas most of our seasonal crops, like, you know, produce that we're gleaning at certain times of the year, yeah, that's all seasonal, and, you know, kind of shut down in the wintertime, you're feeding hay or whatever for your cattle. But you talk to the calf bombs down in Alberta, you know, and they've got sweet corn, they've got their watermelons and their produce that they're absolutely bringing in the seasonal workers, and they come in around February and then they're leaving around November. They're here for several months out of the year, and they're actually housing them, and they end up being about a cost of about $20 an hour. But they work, you know, they're very diligent. They're hard workers. They show up, you know, because they don't have the outside activities that they're doing. So they actually show up every morning, ready to work. So, and then they work the number of hours, you know, they're expected to work. They're hard workers.
Right. But it's understanding the labor market. We have a low labor participation rate in the state, and I guess the sort of knee jerk is, well, we have these people who are really earning a living. They're staying at home, and in many cases, probably most cases, are collecting some kind of assistance from the government. Why don't we just put those guys to work?
That would be great. That's a great idea. I wonder if we can get them to work. Wonder if we can get them to show up. Wonder if we can get them to, you know, make a, you know, are they going to be more work for the person that's trying to get them to work? That's a great idea if you can, you know, actually.
Obviously, it doesn't work because for two reasons. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like you said, the seasonal work. So they're going to be laid off or whatever, and it may be something opens up later. But the other part is, like, when you start working, representative, you all of a sudden you're not qualified for a lot of these freebies from our social welfare system. Now, look, the welfare system is a creation of the federal government, and, you know, it goes back to the world poverty, the New Deal, whatever. But that's like, in some ways, it seems like ag is competing with the federal government with the way they handle our social safety net.
Explain that further.
So, well, that's the issue, I would think, of getting workers to the farm to do whatever tasks are necessary.
Yeah, I mean, there's people out there, I think, if we should get them to the farms and get them to work. And, I mean, I guess the incentive would have to be cut off, you know, the welfare, cut off these things. And, I mean, the bill that we had, the federal government had, where they had to make sure that they're actually contributing somehow, either volunteer. I mean, if they could just get out and do something, because it's their self-worth, and if they can find a purpose, I mean, I think that's the start of them understanding that they can do something, they can get out there, contribute, give back. We would definitely need them to pay their taxes, to contribute to the road system and the, you know, through those taxes. So that is, if we could, that is, I hope we could get that to work. That's a,
Well, you see it here with the immigration, and the English is a second language, and you know, a lot of our infrastructure, you know, just around Baldwin County is really hit by it. It's not necessarily, you know, I was using the poultry farms as an example, but there's a lot of seasonal work here. Maybe it's not even ag; it's construction, probably primarily. That is overburdening what we are existing schools and institutions, et cetera.
Yes, I mean, I think those, and by the way, here's another shout out to our local schools. We've had two Title I schools that scored 99 on their state report card, Fairhope West and J. Larry Newton. And I'm pretty sure I've given them a shout out before, but to be able to come out of like that Title I, that kind of category, and to score that high on your state report card is a huge achievement, and just a big shout out to them. And Title I means that you're hitting a certain socioeconomic level of your community that's going to those schools. And Fairhope West just met it, but J. Larry Newton is well into that Title I category. And to score that high is a huge accomplishment. But they are having those burdens of, you know, the lower socioeconomic, where they're not quite as educated. The parents may be first generation, or, you know, just not gone to college. And, you know, those kids are going to school. And so they're, you know, the teachers are doing most of the teaching and learning, and making sure those kids are up to where they should be academically. But those, when we have, you know, the influx of immigrants, you know, that's what we start to see, those additional burdens. And construction, you mentioned that. I just had a call from one of my constituents in the construction industry, where one of his key employees was pulled over, and he's been here illegal for the last 12 years or so, model illegal citizen, should you say, because he's not had any problems, no issues, no, he's, you know, he's got a wife here, he's got kids here, born here, and been here, you know, in this country, and kind of been dodging, and has not done anything illegal. And he's, you know, he's a key employee. That the man said, is there a vouch system? Is there a way I can sponsor this employee somehow? Because he means that much to my business. These key employees, you know, so that's the other side of it too, that, you know, I think people know, and people are seeing and experiencing, if you're in the work industry, like landscape, construction, you guys out there working, and you understand what I'm talking about. And then you've got the, you know, the folks that are not so, that are in different types of work that just don't see that and don't understand that. But some of these employees or people that are over here are key employees to these businesses that have been thriving for the last 10 years with their help. And this person said, you know, is there anything we can come up with? And, you know, of course, that's the federal government, but we certainly as a state could listen to our constituents and help offer solutions to that problem.
Your constituents, though, I think it's mixed. I think there's some that would like to see a more navigable immigration legalization system, but there's others who obviously don't see that way. And I guess the problem is, like, if you've been here for 10 years or more illegally, like, you would have thought at some point you'd have had the opportunity to be legal and do it the right way, and you didn't pursue it, and now the law's catching up with you.
That's right. And it's a long process. You know, there's a long process to become. You know, I've got a cousin, his wife just went through the process. I mean, I think it literally took her like 10 years to get legal, but she went through it. She did it. I mean, it's actually, you know, it is doable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I guess, at some point, they'll figure it out. But right now, just the backlash, and this is how Trump gets elected, it seems. The system was abused in a way for politics. Hey, Representative, I hate to wrap it up there, but we got to get out of here. But thanks for hopping on, and safe travels.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Y'all have a good morning.
You do the same. That was State Representative Jennifer Fiddler there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Alabama.